From the Gateless Barrier, the Wumen Khan. Case 16, Yunmen, the sound of the bell. Yunmen said, the case. Yunmen said, see in how vast and wide the world is. See how vast and wide the world is. Why do you put on your seven-piece robe at the sound of the bell? Wu Men's comment. All you Zen students training in the way, don't be victimized by sounds. Don't follow up on forms. You may have realization on hearing a sound or enlightenment on seeing a form. That's natural. But don't you know that true Zen students can ride sounds and veil forms? They see all and sundry clearly. They handle each and everything deftly. Perhaps you are such a person, but tell me, does the sound come to the ear, or does the ear go to the sound? And if you have transcended sound and silence, what do you say at such a point? If you listen with your ear, it is hard to understand. If you hear with your eye, you are intimate at last. Wu Men's verse. With realization, all things are one family. Without realization, all things are disconnected. Without realization, all things are one family. With realization, all things are disconnected. How beautiful to be sitting together here in the Zendo in a snowstorm. The pine trees, layers of snow building on their needles. Dog barking in a yard. Yunmen was known for his really brief teachings that carry a lot of weight. And here one is, this one is just like that. Brief, to the point, he says, see how vast and wide the world is. Why do you put on your seven-piece robe at the sound of the bell? So many ways of hearing this. One way might be, as we enter into the depths of Sesshin and begin this work of turning toward our own heart and spilling our drinks, we might ask ourselves, why am I doing this? The world is vast and wide. I could be skiing this weekend. And here I am in a Zendo. I could be at a coffee shop. Oh, let the fantasies build, everyone. I could be sitting in front of a crackling fire somewhere. Of course, what we'd probably be doing is what? Scrolling? I don't know. We could be anywhere. Why are we practicing? A deep question, why do we practice? Why come back again and again? Why put ourselves on the cushion each evening, morning? Where does this energy and commitment come from? And in a personal sense, we're all so different. So there's not going to be a single answer that tells each one of our stories. But perhaps in a collective sense, there is something that we begin to taste through this practice that speaks to us all, that speaks within our hearts, a sense that this world is vast and wide, a sense of the boundless emptiness, a kind of freedom and ease that sometimes we just see so clearly, self and other fall away, just the clarity of the sound of a bell. Does your ear go out to meet it? Does it meet your ear? Such questions mean nothing. As we awaken to the presence of some aliveness that knows no boundaries, that's so deep and profound and intimate, this interbeing, the bell that sounds in your own mind. Which we sometimes call no mind at all, no gap. Self and other the same. To recognize this is so liberating. And we hear all the philosophy about it, and honestly, it does very little good. It's only the eye of practice that brings this to light. People talk about it, and before we've sat, it sounds lovely, but just like a bunch of mumbo-jumbo at the same time. A bunch of contradiction, and the mind tries to track it all. A leads to B, and B leads to C, and therefore there is no mind. Wait, and before you know it, you're lost in a maze of mental formation. It's okay, we don't need to understand on that level anyway. This is a work of the heart that we are doing together. A falling away of all those dualistic categories. An opening of the heart-mind to a boundless presence. Robert Aitken, who we just read his name in the Ancestors' Dedication, who is responsible for this translation with which we often work, writes about it this way: you are one with the majesty of the universe. Suspicions are gone. Grudges are gone. Self-punishment is gone. Concerns about schedule, doubts, and motives all have disappeared in the original garden, where the morning star sings together and all the sons and daughters of God shout for joy. That is the world so vast and wide. For the moment. So, in this boundless presence, why do you respond to the calls of the world? Why do you put on your seven-piece robe? Haven't we now transcended the realm of cause-effect? Well, as we've talked about before, we call that the hell cave of emptiness. The realm of boundlessness is not mutually exclusive from the realm of form. They're actually one and the same. Boundlessness taking the form of bing, time to bow. Bing, time to sit. And perhaps we might also think about that bell as the cries of the world. We just read the Bernie Glassman chant from our sutra book. A child falls and we reach our hand out. Very natural. Just responding to things just as they are. One moment after another. So we have these ideas about what awakening might mean, and that it means the complete falling away in some way of cause and effect. That is a way of talking about it. No self, no other. How could there be cause and effect? And as our wonderful fox koan, the second case of the woman koan, explores, to be lost in the idea that we are no longer subject to cause and effect is a hell realm in and of itself. Of course, we're still beings of cause and effect, beings of karma. When we're hungry, we eat. Very clear. When the bell rings, we get on the robe, we come sit. So to take a moment and explore this verse. With realization, all things are one family. All things empty of distinct, separate, fixed identity. All things interwoven, intimate. So many poems to express this, and yet it's beyond words, isn't it? We just let all beings reside in our hearts. Without realization, all things are disconnected. Here we're caught in our ideas of separateness. This is a place where this is the way of thinking out of which wars are created. We insist on our own point of view, quoting Aitken again. Without realization, all things are one family. Now that sounds like pure contradiction. But it's true whether we realize it or not. If we're lost in delusion, all things are still one family. And this is part of our faith. This is part of what brings us back to the cushion again and again. The recognition when we get lost in delusion, we get lost in our stories about self and other. We get lost in the wars that we're waging in our minds against the bad people of the world. And yet, all things are actually still one family, a boundless, interwoven, interconnected oneness, presence, inseparable. With realization, all things are disconnected. Everything exactly as it is, such. Everything in its own place. Here we're saved from a kind of pernicious oneness. The imagination tells us nothing really matters because everything is one anyway. There's no self. Who dies? Who suffers? Nobody suffers. None of it really matters. You can see how we can slip down into that, these deductions, which again are really just stories made up from the mind. They aren't accurate at all. We know what hunger feels like. We know what pain feels like. So even though it's empty, it's not nihilism. This isn't nothingness. And so we can really heed each bell ringing. Attend to each sound, attend to each cry in the world, and respond. Recognizing our interwovenness, recognizing the way we co-create the world. This is both a daunting vision of reality, but also one with enormous hope and possibility. Because nothing is of fixed essence. Things can be changed. Emptiness is the recognition of cause and effect. It is both transcending the stories of cause and effect and the recognition of cause and effect. The recognition part is because nothing has a fixed essence, because things don't have fixed identities, they can change and do change and are always changing. And this is a big part of what allows for the possibility of an appropriate response, a helpful response, a healing response. So we come to, in this day and time perhaps, what some may feel is the heart of the koan, with so many bells ringing in this world, with so much need. What can little old me do? How do we save all beings?